Lessons from a Master Librarian. Steve Sisler. The name among hundreds of friends brings to mind a kind smile, twinkling eyes that showed genuine interest when others spoke, a quick wit, and an ever-present sense of humor. His gentlemanly grace and decency, his interest in people, and his childlike fascination with the mystery of learning new things made him an eclectic master librarian. His validating presence, nourishing aura, and generous demeanor, and even his bemused little smile and twinkles remain with me as a model for what I hope to become. If what we give determines what we receive in life, Steve's unlimited capacity for learning and for offering friendship provided him a wealth of admiring friends. And when I'm asked for attention by others, I now cannot find myself too busy or too important to listen and help whenever possible. Without ego or attachment to material things, his professional life was punctuated with articulating how people could support the ongoing learning of each other via community networking, via internet-connected libraries and librarians, via peer networks, sharing new knowledge and goodwill. With a burst of key taps, his fingers could call up specific information from the internet even while in the middle of a conversation. He had amazed me many times with his skill, showing how the world's knowledge base could become such a powerful but casual extension of self. His final work leading an online collaboratory of award laureates for the Global Social Benefit Incubator was most appropriate. When I first met Steve in the pre-World Wide Web years, the potential of the internet was framed by some as a shared hologram of human imagination, a superconscious state of shared being, which was indeed a grand vision as little projects emerged, many with Steve's support, like my own Big Sky Telegraph, connecting one-room schools with 2,400 baud modems over $18 an hour long-distance phone lines, or Keola's Hawaiian language browsers and online language instruction innovations. Having had the privilege to spend time hiking, camping, and kayaking with both Steve and Nancy, I'd like to share the attached photo of his initial carved in a tree in the backcountry of Wyoming and a short antidote. For me, it symbolizes the mark we each make on the world during our fleeting time participating in the mystery of life. Our family cabin near Yellowstone Park in Cody, Wyoming, used to be deep in an old-growth forest with big trees all around, not unlike the Redwood Grove where you are all gathered now, where Steve has led me on a hike or two. When Steve carved his initial on a tree there, I stopped him, citing such actions as inappropriate. And the next year, the tree fell over and the whole area was impacted by pine borer beetle, with 80% of the trees dying. Now we have lots of new growth as the forest begins to regenerate, though the transition has been hard to endure and is far from complete. I like to think there's yet another lesson here about the natural cycle of things and the challenge to keep a good perspective on little things that don't matter and big things that do. Our life's impact may well be measured by what we've given freely to others. And in that sense, Steve's global mark is indeed immeasurable. What I miss most is the genuineness of his friendship, which I know is shared with literally hundreds of others. In reading the recent blog postings, I was struck by how many people lamented they didn't get to know him better, and how lucky I felt to have known him as well as I did. Living in rural Montana, I rarely got to see Steve in person, as in recent years, neither of us have maintained the busy conference schedule we used to endure. I have realized that in a very real sense, for me, he represented the personification of the collaborative potential of the internet being something of a shared telepathy where at any time, up might pop his photo requesting a Skype conversation, or as happened in Guatemala, two-way video, to casually catch up as if global location didn't matter. I first heard of Steve's passing from an email from Scott Robinson in Mexico, and that such news would certainly be shared globally and rapidly was no surprise. A couple difficult days later, my Skype fired up with the familiar incoming call tones. And up popped Steve's name and photo, and my heart jumped. It would be just like Steve to have hacked a call from a higher plane just for fun. But it was Steve's son, Eric, and we appropriately shared our grief and tears via a Skype chat. It was a welcome relief to share the real and honest pain of losing a loved friend and the sweet sorrow of having such open and full feelings for someone so genuine, which was so very much his legacy. That so many share in this level of feelings for his passing is indeed testimony to a life well lived. But now that Steve's bandwidth has been upgraded, I'm wondering if perhaps the internet isn't indeed a metaphor for something even grander, for something shared at a fundamentally higher level. Remembering when the internet was only a blinking cursor, one had to know every detail for how to log in and navigate by memory. And today, looking at the world situation, my thoughts are on what unseen blinking cursor is now before us, and who knows what to do to connect, and who can be that librarian to take the time to help the rest of us make our first fundamental connections to our own higher states of being. I'm wondering what mark I need to still make and where. Now that he has shaken his earthly coil, I find myself still very much attended by his presence, particularly at sunset or when in a natural setting. More than just a memory, his impact on my worldview and my state of being is ongoing. It is as if there is another level of bandwidth that is keeping us connected, something I have never experienced before. If I could share what I believe I've learned from Steve, it would be the state of grace of egoless intellect that allows one to effortlessly absorb unlimited amounts of new information and new ideas. He had a quiet skepticism regarding people and technology, carefully avoiding assumptions until the facts are proven. His combination Zen of non-attachment and simultaneous deep appreciation for the little things around him, for the diversity of cultures and nature, his childlike curiosity and delight in learning new things, represent for me the gestalt whole of the earthly complexity of our existence and the divine simplicity. Steve had shared that he had a habit of waking early around 4 a.m. to read for an hour before catching a final hour of sleep to begin the day. The shock of his sudden loss to our lives might remind us to be kinder to others, more open, perhaps to catch that opportunity to read for an extra hour, an hour that would otherwise be lost forever, but also to not be so serious, to practice enjoying exercise, nature, a good meal, a glass of wine, old friends, and extending ourselves to making new friends. Enjoying our journey and not getting too wrapped up in the final destination. The joy of Steve's life was indeed his family, his boys Jeff and Eric, their wives, and his two granddaughters. Steve's relationship with his wife Nancy was truly something special, as we all know. She knew Steve better than anyone. Let us celebrate, as Steve would have requested, there continuing his grand qualities as his prime legacy and pride. Let us remember Steve's work and commit to continuing his work for what still needs to be done. I am, like most of you, present online in the asynchronous ethers of vision and hope, outside of time, beyond the limitations of geographical distance. Like you, I am still at everyone's fingertips, an open book, like Steve always was. Potentially present anywhere, from anywhere, extending a hand of friendship, or an answer to a query, an amazing new factoid, or sharing a laugh, we each have Steve's model of inspiration to live up to.